Buccaneers Total Access continues on 620 WDAE and US 1035. Here again is your host, Dave Moore.
Welcome to the Total Access Show, part two. We just got done with Coach Raheem Morris. And every week from 6 to 7, we'll be bringing you a different player. And today, I think perfectly fitting, we'll get right to the introduction. Big day yesterday, 22 carries, 75 yards. Left 40 yards on the field, would have had 24 carries for 115, which, you know, that's absolutely the way to start off. I'd like to welcome Cadillac Williams. How you doing, bud?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
You feel pretty good? Sore?
You know what? Just telling my dad, like, wow, I actually feel good.
It's a good
after,
sore.
22 carries on Monday. I actually feel really good, man.
Well, that's good. I tell you, it was great to see you out there being the feature guy. And that's something you haven't been able to do and sustain. And, you know, obviously you got a young team, veteran offensive line, Freeman coming off, you know, a couple games out because of the finger. You knew they were going to try to run you as much as possible, take some pressure off of him, use three steps, a little play action. You know, did you really feel like you went out and did what you expected to do?
You know what I did, as a expectation for the offense, we expect so much of ourselves. I think, you know, we have potential-wise on offensive line, could have one of the best offensive line, but, you know, we got to go out and prove it on the field. But I just think as a whole, myself, you know, from the offensive line to the receivers to everybody, man, we definitely can get a lot better from watching the film, but it's actually a positive energy and actually a good thing. We're sitting here 1-0, and we left a lot of yards and points out there.
Well, you certainly have the offensive line, but what about being the feature guy now? You know, when you came in, you had work done, and then you had Derek Ward that you had to split carries with last year. Is it better for you to get in there and kind of get a rhythm, or was it better getting that little bit of a rest, or what do you think?
You know what, to be honest with you, it's better for me that I'm in there actually getting in that rhythm because, you know, no knock on the, you know, system last year. You know, it was tough times, you know. I mean, you go sometimes where, you know, I actually go a whole quarter without, you know, being on the field. So as a back, you know, that's tough, but, you know, it's different. And, you know, this year, I mean, I'm enjoying being that future guy.
Well, 14 to 17, you guys come away with a 1-0 undefeated. Great way to start off at home. Very young football team. But every running back that I've ever talked to feels the same way. They feel like they get better as the game goes. You know, it's different for receivers because they're very much situational guys. They're bought in on third downs, but running backs, every one of them you ever talk to, kind of they need to get dinged a few times before they feel good about what's going on and can feel the flow and the cutbacks. And one of the things you do so well is you're patient, watching, and do you look for that cutback or you just feel it? How does that happen?
You know what? It's basically more of a feel. It's all about patience. And I think over the years for me, you know, being hurt, actually watching, you know, different backs in this league, I think early on in my career that's something I was working towards getting better on is more patient. And I think now as a runner, I'm definitely more patient, more pressing the hole. Little things like that, bringing the linebackers to you to help your offensive line, you know, get off the double team, up on the linemen, the backers. So I think my patience as a runner is night and day.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. You spent two long, grueling off seasons rehabbing. Did you spend a lot of time in film, you know, watching other running backs and other offenses? I know. You spent a ton of time in the training room. I saw you in there a lot, and you were in here working out every day. But did you take that time to really learn from other guys?
You know what? To be honest with you, there early on my first injury, it was so severe, and I had so many complications out of it. I didn't spend much time in the film room. I spent, you know, more time in the training room, not knowing what's happening because, you know, it was some very, very – dark moments there. But once I started seeing the light and, you know, felt like, okay, I'm getting my mojo back, that's when I started to break down different backs around this league. I started getting clippings of, you know, what I did 05, 06, just try and critique my game. And once I get on the field, you know, as far as a mental standpoint and just knowing the knowledge of the game, be that much better.
Now, did you ever think for a moment you weren't going to come back, or you just knew it was going to be a long road and didn't think that far ahead?
I mean, well, man, I'm human. I mean, when you go 3 months where you can't even lift your leg without assistance, you know, your mind gets to wondering, like, man, like, okay, if I was to, let's say I do come back, would I ever be, you know, like, you know, that back? Would I ever be able to compete in this league again, things like that? So you have a lot of things running through your mind, man. But, thanks to, you know, my family, friends, you know, coaches here, man, they, you know, they kept me upbeat, and that went a long way with my rehab process.
Man, that was a question I always wondered as a player. I had a lot of surgeries. I was always banged up and never had, you know, one that really put me on IR or put me out for a long time. But you gotta wonder. And then the second time, I mean, you come back and do it again, and it obviously from the rehab didn't seem like it was quite as bad. But at that point, I mean, what were you thinking?
I mean, to be honest with you, at that point, I was just almost disgusted. Like, you know, I was really asking people to, like, wake me up. Am I dreaming? But, you know, to be honest with you, once I found out that I tore it off the bone, I had a chance to work with Mark Jones, who did the previous year. So I had a chance to work with him and see how he was progressing when he was at 3-4 months. I was like, wow. So once I found out that, you know, it was a tear off the bone, you're like, you know, I mean, it was
almost. Is that better or worse?
No,
I don't know that.
That's better.
It is? You know, it's just cleaner?
Yeah, it's cleaner. You know, it was almost like Jordan.
And the first time it was what, frayed? Or
The first time it was shredded.
Shredded. So what were they sewing together? They were trying to weave it all back together?
Right.
Did they put an artificial in it?
Nah, they just reconstructed, put it all back together.
Yeah, I didn't realize it.
Yeah, it was much, much more severe the first time. But like I say, once I found out it was off the bone, it was almost joy. Like, you know, the next day, my family, everybody down, and I'm like, I'm happy. And they're like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, trust me. It's good news. I'm going to be okay. And at the time, that was grooting them out. You know, I was telling them guys, you know, I'm going to be okay for training camp.
Well, before, we obviously want to talk a lot about yesterday, and we're going to get some callers to come in and tell us what they think. But I saw that you were the recipient of the Ed Block Courage Award. And that, within the NFL players, is a pretty prestigious thing, and it normally recognizes a guy that's had serious injury and battled with whether or not they're going to be able to come back. And it's something within the league. You know, can you explain a little bit about that?
You know, yeah, the Ed Block Courage Award, man, it was actually amazing.
It's a pretty good deal from what I hear.
No doubt. It's held in Baltimore. I actually didn't know much about it, man. But when I went and seen, you know, the history of it and what it's all about, and you know, to me, it was a privilege just for my teammates. You know, that's voted by your teammates, your peers, you know, your brothers you go to battle with. So, you know, for them to nominate me as that guy, man, that's a feeling that's, you know, just unbelievable to be recognized like that.
That's why I brought it up, because it is it's not voted by the fans or popularity or even really coaches. It's really your fellow guy saying, hey, you know, it's quite an accomplishment coming back. And, you know, when I saw that, I mean, that's a pretty big deal within players, and a lot of the general public doesn't hear much about it.
Right. No doubt, man. I agree, because a lot of times, you know, you have your fan favorites, and, you know, a lot of stuff is, you know, it's real. But again, you know, it could be tweaked. But, you know, with this here, it's, you know, it's guys inside the building knowing what you're going through on a daily basis, done seeing the struggles, done seeing when, you know, I couldn't even jog. I couldn't even, you know, more or less walk. And, you know, they done seen me come a long way. So for them guys to vote me, that was an honor.
Well, you look great yesterday. I mean, you had a number of carries. Certainly, in my book, one of the most valuable guys, young guys, certainly stepped up and made some plays. Well, how did you feel? I saw you got gassed at the end there, right before. I mean, you were a little slow getting up. You're running out of steam, or what?
You know what, Balls? I actually felt great yesterday, man. You know, like I feel like my limbs are hitting on all, you know, cylinders. I don't, you know, I mean, when I go out to field, I'm not thinking about what if this happened, that happened, man. I actually have a clear mind, and to be honest with you, man, it was actually a hot day yesterday. I was getting gas here and there, but to be honest, you don't play football a long time.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know that first game is always kind of the worst game because you just don't know. Even though you practice and you preseason, you just don't really know the tempo or four quarters until you actually do it.
I'll take it a step further, and I remember when the schedule comes out in April. I'm looking in September at home games, hoping there's not a 1 o'clock, you know. And as still as it was, I was down there before the game yesterday. I was like, man, I remember years ago we opened up with the Giants at home. And we went on like a 15-play drive. And by the time we got to the red zone, I just wanted to rip my pads off. I felt like my skin was falling off. It was terrible. You know, we're going to open up the phone lines, get some callers, get a little bit more into yesterday. Phone numbers, Hillsboro, 813-990-4620, Pinellas 727-461-4620, toll free 800-546-4620 and 800-969-BUCKS 2827. We'll be right back with Cadillac Williams, and we'll open up the phones and we'll talk a lot about these young guys, a lot about momentum, correctable things. We'll be right back with more with Cadillac Williams on the Total Access Show. This is the Buccaneer Radio Network.
Buccaneers Total Access returns on 620 WDAE and US 103.5, the home of the Buccaneers.
Welcome back to the Total Access Show. I am Dave Moore. My special guest today, Cadillac Williams. So you've had an opportunity now to watch the film. Coach Morris addressed the team. I got to hear him a little bit earlier. But what did he have to say to that? You got nothing? Was he jumping for joy? Was he saying, hey, listen, it was a good win, but you got to correct this, that? Was a little bit of both?
You know what?
Didn't mean to throw you off guard.
It was actually a little more of enjoy the win. Hope y'all enjoy the win. Now, you know, let's move on to business. You know, this is what we expect to do. We gonna go in, watch the film, correct the things we need to correct, and get better and move on. And that's pretty much our attitude as a whole team.
Well, all right, you start off the game. You run off 6 minutes. You move the ball. Didn't come away with any points, but you're off to a good start. Freeman, he didn't look real comfortable. But yet he played smart ball. He didn't force any balls. You know, he took a couple sacks, ran the ball. He had a big run. He found a gear that really surprised a lot of guys right down to your sideline there. And but then they come out and throw the ball, you know, seven straight times. Were you looking to get back in there and go right to pounding, or did they intentionally try to give him some more throws?
I think Coach Ola, he does a great job of keeping the defense off balance. And I think the looks where Cleveland was presenting us, you know, it was a lot of, you know, safeties down and in the box where it was a lot of opportunity for our receivers one-on-ones out there. So in that series where you seen them throwing the ball a lot, I think that's where it was, because the running game was kind of stalling a little bit because they were putting those guys in the box. So, you know, it was time for our young receivers to make plays out there.
And I would imagine that you're going to see a lot more of that coming up. You're going to see eight guys in the box, nine guys in the box, because you have that offensive line that can block, and because you have a young quarterback. I mean, they're going to force you guys to throw the ball. I mean, how does that affect you and what you're trying to do as far as running that ball?
I mean, as an offense, I mean, no matter what looks a defense give you, you know, at times you just got to force your will on your opponent and run the football. Because as everybody knows in that football league, that, you know, if you're able to control that line of scrimmage, you're usually going to win. But, man, I got total confidence in Josh Freeman and the young guys out there, from Sammy Scrawler to Mike Williams. Man, once they put those guys in the box, man, those guys going to be able to make plays. And they show a lot of that yesterday. And I think from here on out, man, with the momentum, the adversity we faced yesterday being down as a young team, you know, we're hungry. So I think things just going to take off and get a whole lot better.
Well, watching Josh, I had the opportunity to talk to him. He said he spent his entire offseason watching Drew Brees and New Orleans offense and really trying to focus on reading defenses and, you know, being able to make adjustments at the line of scrimmage. We saw him do that some yesterday. Has his demeanor changed at all in the huddle from last year to this year, or how has he been in the huddle?
You know what? The guy is, to be honest with you, it's like night and day.
I would expect nothing less, to be honest with you.
It's night and day, to be honest with you. He's, I mean, from last year when he first stepped in the huddle, it's a little bleary. You know, you come back, you know, everybody, Josh, you have to speak up. You know, we got to hear this. Now, I think Josh Freeman, he take total control of the huddle. You know, he's running the show, and he's a very confident guy.
Well, it's definitely a copycat league, and if you watch a lot of the things New Orleans does and what you guys do offensively, what a great teacher is to emulate somebody like Brees. And yeah, I think Josh has great pocket presence. He has great zip on the ball, and he's a guy that certainly can get it done and is going to have to. You know, if they do start stacking the box, there's going to be free guys and free hitters. And so to keep everybody honest, you certainly have enough talent on the outside, and we'll get to some of that. But we're going to go to phones right now and let some of these callers talk to Cadillac. First off, we have Eddie in Clearwater. Eddie, you there?
Hey, I'm here.
What do you got for Cadillac?
Doing?
Good, we're doing well.
Hey, Dave, first of all, I want to say, man, you are fantastic. You are a great player.
Well, thank you.
I've been a fan since the McKay days. And my question is, I've met Cadillac a couple times, and he's not only a great running back, he's just a fantastic person. But my question is, and I see you run up the middle a lot, you know, in the box, and they're loading the box up. To me, you're more like a Warrick Dunn type. And Warrick Dunn was more dangerous in the flats, you know, on a screen pass or a sweep. Would you prefer doing that than running up the box? Or?
You know, any running back would definitely love to be out on the perimeter with those cornerbacks, which in this league they definitely don't want to tackle you. But, you know, sometimes as an offense, I mean, you have to have those tough plays where, you know, you just got to run in the middle of that defense. And it's going to open a lot of things that we do as far as our play action. We have a lot of things that we do off of things we plays up the middle. But I think Coach Oli going to do a lot of things on the perimeter with me for a screen, balls out in the flat. I think I actually caught two balls out there in the flat.
Well, we've seen you get behind old Davin Joseph, and he's a great guy to be behind out on the perimeter. And, you know, you had those couple big runs that got called back. You had a chance to watch him on film. We personally thought the one Davin Joseph just ran the guy over, and they called it late. I mean, were they legitimate holds, or what do you think?
Nah,
I don't sell out your teammate either, but nah, still, you can give me your opinion.
I'm not. The one on Davin Joseph was definitely not
sometimes when you blow up a guy so bad, they assume that you tackled
right, him. Right, exactly. I mean, he just basically just ran through the guy, and I think the one that they call on Kellen, maybe he jerked him a little bit, but, I mean, the guy – I mean, it was. I believe it was a hole, but he had no play. It was like 5 yards.
Yeah, he was so far away.
Yeah, he was so far away. It was amazing how the ref even seen that.
In Kellen's defense, he didn't do a whole lot in preseason, so you just got to get in there. Tell him to block a little harder in practice. Tell him that you're blocking for him, picking up those blitzers so he can catch some passes down the field. All right, let's go back to the phones. We have Todd in Tampa. Todd, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Thanks for taking my call. Dave, you and Cadillac are both really down-to-earth guys, and we appreciate that as Tampa natives. Question that I have, Cadillac, I was going to ask you about Freeman in the huddle. but you kind of answered that a minute ago, and understand that he's matured quite a bit and really taken control of the huddle. But your new left guard, I think it's Vincent, wanted to get your impressions of him so far. And the other thing I wanted to know is on LeGarrette Blount. How does he look? I don't know if you've had much time to spend with him, but just as a joke, does anybody pretend to give the guy a punch?
Somebody pick a fight with him yet?
Well, far as Vincent, man, he's a big body. I mean, 6'5", 340. He just eats up people, man. And he, you know, really strong guy. You know, he's an older guy who done, you know, been around, played in leagues, done, you know, Carolina helped them to the number one rushing and things like that. And far as Blount, you know, the guy, I think he's a big, strong guy that came out and did a good job. He's actually picking up on the system. Coach Logan working really good with him. And me, I'm actually kind of a jokester on the team. So actually, when he first got here, I kind of you know picked him about about the little incident that he's
Mark
famous
territory.
For. Exactly.
Yeah. You called know, him right out.
Right. I told folks don't nobody want to mess with the running back room. We got somebody who done put it on film.
You know, everybody know that he got your back, right?
No doubt.
Well, if you want to join the phone lines, Hillsboro, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free, 800-546-4620. And the 800, I'm going to get it right this time. 800-596-2827. 1-800-9596-BUCKS-2827. So back to the phones. We got John in Spring Hill.
Yeah, Dave, can you hear me?
I can.
Hey, first of all, I'd just like to say I've been a Bucks fan as long as I can remember. I'm one of the few true blue Florida Crackers. But, I mean, as far as when I was a kid, my granddaddy and I used to listen to you guys on the radio, and I know it ain't your guys' fault that, you know, you guys are blacked out. But, man, I'd like to say great game yesterday, Cadillac. You know, I've been your biggest fan since you came out. I had your jersey the day it was on sale, but I watched you go through those two knee injuries, man, and what was that like? You know, what was that like battling those two knee injuries and people telling you, you know, you ain't going to play football again type thing, and then you coming back and just showing everybody that not only were you going to play football, but at such a high level and be so effective?
You know what, to be honest with you, my man, it was tough. You know, this is something I done did my whole life and never really had a severe injury like that, and once I had the injury and, you know, you come in after surgery, your doctor tell you, you know, he actually gives you that look like, well, it's going to be a tough road, but if anybody can do it, I think you can. So from there, I knew it was pretty, pretty bad. But, man, I just kept God first, man, kept prayed up and just kept working. And I was just determined that, you know, I wasn't going to let, you know, a knee injury or people around the way, you know, telling me what I can and can't do.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the blackout that he brought up. Yeah, I thought the crowd noise was tremendous, especially at the end of the game when you guys got momentum back, when Rondé had the big play before the half. The defense came out, played very well in the second half, and it was a big factor when, you know, the Bucks had Cleveland backed up there. I mean, was it loud on the sideline?
Wow. You know, it was It was actually unreal. We was on the sideline as the Cleveland was backed up. I was telling players, like, wow, you would really think the stadium is jam packed. I mean, it was so loud, and man, all the few fans that was there, man, was just going nuts. And it was just good to see, you know, the old fans still in, you know, into the game.
And it was pretty much full. I mean, the upper deck was missing some people, but there was still a lot of people there. And what about Rondé? Did you guys give him some stuff? And you had to bust his chop. Now, listen, you understand he's an older guy, and he ran out of gas. I ran into him in the parking lot after the game, and he's like, after about four steps, you know, I was even saying on the radio, I don't know whether he cramped up or pulled a hamstring or what. He got run down by three guys. So somebody had to bust his – I know he's an older guy, but somebody had to bust his chops.
You know, it was weird because I was actually saying, like, turning my back, yeah, Rondé about to score. Yeah, like, you know, cheering.
He's never been run
and
down.
Like, yeah, and, like, out of nowhere, somebody just kind of said, huh? No. So I don't know too many people, you know, pick with them, but that's going to be
they
something.
Should have. They have. I'm surprised Raheem didn't put it up there first thing this
well,
morning.
Well, you know what? We have this thing called in stretch line that me and Nico, we kind of coordinate. So
because you know they were busting Nico's chops after his run on his interception,
no,
right?
No doubt. And we Barrett. Definitely both of them. So I think Wednesday we going to it's going to be a Rondae Barber show on the field.
Well, let's talk a little about Cleveland and what they were doing. Yeah, they ran that 3-4 defense. They have Rex Ryan's brother there who was, you know, the family of doing blitzes and stuff like that. And usually the first regular season game is always a wild card because you don't know what they're going to do because they don't show anything in preseason. Did they do anything that really surprised you guys?
No doubt. We came in all OTAs, all count. Working on the 3-4 where it's an even look where they, you know, they stand guys up and blitz, you know, throughout the edge and drop two. That was they blitz that they were famous for New Orleans Saints where teams are using around this league. And, man, they just came out in a totally different set. They kind of tweaked some things and gave us some different looks that caused us problem early on, not only in the pass game but also the run game.
Now, blitzers, were you required to pick up a bunch of those guys when they came?
Oh yeah, no doubt, man. You know me, being a third down back, being in there on third down back, as far as you know, picking up.
You got to take them big dudes because you got two defensive linemen down, three linebackers walking around. I mean, it's inevitable you're going to wind up with one of them at some point.
Yeah, exactly. So sometimes I have to just hold my own, but the main thing is that I love about Freeman, Jeff Fain is. They actually make my jobs so much easier because the way we communicate during the week, the way we meet on Fridays for that extra blitz period, and on game, it just translates over to the game.
And I've been that guy in the backfield, and if you're not sure who you're getting, by the time you figure out the free guy, you got no chance.
No.
So that's an enormous advantage to have a guy like Fain in there who's helping direct that. And you know, I can't tell you – from a listening standpoint for the people out there that, you know, this game, it happens so fast that if you're not sure for a split second, you got nothing. Now, it was a blitz cover zero on the big touchdown to Spurlock. Did you have a blitzer on that, or was it a zone blitz? How did they do that?
No, actually, it was all out blitz where they brought the mic, they came down, brought the safety.
So you were in protection on that?
Yeah, I was in protection on that.
Well, good job. Whatever you did, you did it well.
Where I wound up picking up the safety.
There you go. Let's go back to the phones. We have Walter and Valrico.
How you doing, gentlemen? Hey, I'm a little bit envious. Share with the fans the War Eagle tradition versus the cannons going off when the Buccaneers are inside the 20. I'll hang up and listen.
Are you going to really put me on the spot like that? But, I mean, yeah, you know, here we had the cannons go off, and, you know, down at Old Auburn we have where we go, War Eagle, hey!
Is that how?
That's it.
I remember the first time they started firing that cannon, and Jeff Ryan's sitting over here, and he'll confirm this. When we used to get in the red zone, they would fire that thing 10 times in a row, and we're in the huddle after a big play trying to call the play, and Trent Dilfer's going bananas trying to communicate the play, and we couldn't even hear our own quarterback talk because the cannon, so they tailored that to put it to two or three.
I mean, for the cannon, it's unreal how I kind of look for it, be like, okay, this time it ain't gonna get me, ain't gonna jump.
But get you every time.
But just about every time, man, I'm just boom, it just jump. Oh, I'm like, man, them cannons again. I mean, I've been here 6 years. You actually think I done got kind of used to that cannon? But
you're thinking about other things. Yeah, that's funny. It's caught me off guard. And yesterday, Gene made reference to the fact that they were a little slow on the first field goal. They shot one, and he was waiting for the other two. And I didn't even realize this is how bad it is. I didn't even realize that, you know, if you make a field goal, it's three and a touchdown is six. Did you know that?
Wow, I didn't.
See that? Gave you a little bit.
Exactly.
How bad is that?
Now, next home game.
Is that a dumb football player
next
thing?
Home game, next home game. I'm going to be looking for that.
Exactly. You're going to be able to tell all the guys on the sideline.
Exactly.
Well, hopefully you'll be in the game. All right, let's go back to the phones on that note. Let's talk to Bill in Tampa.
Hey, my question to you is, y'all feel y'all going to have a winning season this year? I mean, ESPN and all that, I'm saying y'all going to be 6-10. I'm hoping y'all, you know, 16-0, to be honest. You know, I got a lot of friends saying, oh, you know, I want to watch the team. It's good that they got the blackout because they not a good team. But I feel if you're a fan, you should be a fan anyways, whether you 0-16, 16-0. Do you feel with the team you got now, you know, with Freeman on board, that you guys going to have at least above a 500 average?
Well, you know what? We have this saying that we got calling race to 10. And that is what we're expected, you know, that we are going to do. And that's what we're going to do. We're not using that, you know, we're a young team and, you know, listen to all the commentators and the analysts, you know, 6-12, 4-12, you know, 5-11. That's all irrelevant. We know what kind of team we have, and we definitely know our goals. And, you know, we have this thing going race to 10, and we really believe in to achieve that.
Well, I think one of the reasons they are predicting low wins and, you know, not being able to, is you do have a ton of young guys. And I'd like to talk about some of them. But the problem you have with first and second year guys is there's no question there's a ton of talent on your football team. I mean, I don't think anybody will argue that, especially with the draft being as deep as it was. But you know as well as I do, sometimes you get the rookies that come in and they'll make one play after another and then they'll break your heart because they hit the wall or physically they can't hold up for 26 weeks. But let's talk about the young receivers like Mike Williams. I mean, you know, he's made some big plays. That touchdown catch, you know, on that deflection, I mean, that ball was thrown behind. Wasn't a great ball, but just made a big play. Have those guys really, in your mind, stepped up to be those go-to guys in those tough situations?
I mean, no doubt. I think far as Mike Williams from day one, when he came, stepped in this building, his presence, you know, his
– he's a big dude. I saw him the other night. He's a big guy.
His attitude, the way he carries himself, he's definitely playing like he have a chip on his shoulder. You know, with all the negative talk in the draft about him, but he, you know, he's been not a good, you know, teammate, things like that, man. I think he really want to, you know, come out and show that, you know, he definitely, you know, got passed and looked over, man. And that guy, he's a mentally tough guy. Then you have, you know, Sammy. You got a really Ben who's going to come along and give a big play right now. He's doing a good job on special team. So I actually can remember when I was a rookie coming in. And there's times here and there, you know, you're going to hit them walls. The season going to get long. But I feel like that's where myself and the older guys and the leaders come in. And I think we have a good core guys on this team who's on warm ball games, who has been through the thick and thin of the season. And one thing I love about these young guys, man, is once you talk to them, they're all ears. They're, you know, they don't know it all. You know, they come to you. They looking for answers. And anytime you have that in a player and a team, man, sky's the limit.
Good locker room, guys?
Great locker room.
All right, we got to take a break. But phone numbers, Hillsborough, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free, 800-546-4620. And 800-596-BUCKS-2827. And I got it right. So we will be back more with Cadillac Williams on the Buccaneer Total Access Show. This is the Buccaneer Radio Network.
Listening to Buccaneers Total Access. This is 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.
Welcome back to the Total Access Show. I'm Dave Moore, and today my guest who just joining us is Cadillac Williams. So let's go back to these young guys. You come out, you win your first game, and you know, and anybody that's been around football knows, you know, things aren't as good as they seem or as bad as they seem. You don't want to get too high or too low, and face it, you're a veteran guy now on this football team. What do you tell these young guys, the young receivers? You know, after this win, everybody's feeling great. But at the same time, you know, Raheem even said, he mentioned in his press conference, you can't get too giddy, you know, because the season in the NFL is very long. You know, what do you say to these young guys? Do you tell them to keep their head down and keep plugging, or what?
I mean, basically, you tell the young guys, man, enjoy this win, but it's this only one. This is a long season. You know, the next day, let's just get back to work, get focused, and you know, the Cleveland Browns to me is over with and done. You know, we beat them. We won it. Oh well, enjoy it, and then let's go. Let's move on. It's the Carolina Panthers, so let's go out each week and prepare to win ball games. And I think if you keep that attitude and you know keep it along them lines there, man, you won't have them highs and lows where you know once you win, you just all get in. Once you lose, it's not the end of the world. So it works on both ends.
And it sounds easier said than done, but you know when you win, I mean, your neighbors are coming over the house. You get calls from people you haven't talked to, and when you lose, it's worse. I mean, nobody even wants to look at you. So, you know, that's a big thing, is to try to stay as steady as you can. Let's go back to the phone. You ready for another phone call?
No doubt. Let's go.
All right, let's go to Todd in Largo.
How y'all doing?
We're doing good. Sorry to keep you waiting.
No problem, brother, man. Good show. Cadillac Williams, how you doing, brother?
Good. How you doing?
I'm faking well, man. Faking well, man. It's a good treat to talk to you, man. I'm going to go ahead and just break it off real quick. I'm an Alabama fan, and I apologize.
Roll Tide.
That's right. Real quick, man, SEC fan, more and more, man. And so when I saw you got drafted from the Bucks, I said, you know what, man, I'll take a Cadillac over any car any day, man. And you've done a stout job, and you look good doing it, man. And I just like, for the simple fact, I remember I went to the Iron Bowl. I don't even remember what year it was, man. And I remember you taking a lick, and you bowed your neck. And I was like, dadgum, that boy's strong, man. Y'all do a good job. And I just wanted to think, man, what do you think about Boise State being number three? And my next question is how do you think Auburn's going to stack up against Alabama this year?
Well, from watching Boise play last week against VTech, week four last, man, they actually, I think Boise can play with anybody in the country, including the number one Alabama Roll Tide, everybody favorite. But I think Boise, man, I think if they went out and those two teams in front of them lose, they have to play for it. But far as Auburn against Alabama, the Iron Bowl, to me, you know, I played in that game for 4 years, and it's one of those games where, you know, Auburn can have a losing record, or Alabama can have a losing record. It's going to be a slugfest. It's the Iron Bowl. Everybody, it's the game in the state, Alabama. So I think we're definitely going to do well against them, and I think we're going to continue that streak where we beat y'all. I think it was six or seven times in a row. We're going to start it back in 2010.
I love when they ask players that. They always start talking trash. Where'd you get the name Cadillac from?
Name Cadillac. When I was a junior in high school, by a guy, Mike Rader, from Birmingham, did high school football. And he just – every time he did a piece on me, he just – man, this guy runs smooth like a Cadillac. Man, he's smooth. So – he just kept calling me Cadillac. And
it wasn't anything with fancy rims or you had
nah,
in your car?
Nah, it wasn't anything with fancy rims. He just always said I was smooth like a Cadillac.
And it stuck. All right, let's go back to the phones. Richard in Clearwater.
Dave and Cadillac, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Just first of all, I want to tell you that I've been going to the game since day one. So I probably missed maybe three or four games since the inception of the Bucs. So I've seen it all. And I think one of the coolest things that happened yesterday was the base group of people that came there were not complaining about the heat. They weren't complaining about anything. They weren't complaining about the rain. They were just so unbelievably happy to see the Bucs kicking some butt. So that was really, really cool, Cadillac, let me tell you. I got just a quick comment. It's a question, really. With the new guys, I don't know if I came in a little bit late, but I don't know if you talked about it or not. But I want to know the difference between the defensive line in the first half and the defensive line in the second half, to me, was huge. And my question is, with McCoy and Price, what's your thought on these guys? Are these guys able to maintain, you know, probably it's one of the toughest positions that there is in football? Are these guys got the mental toughness to, you know, keep it together? What are these guys like? Are they like crazy animal guys like that love it, or, you know?
Wow. Well, let me tell you, they're two individual men that love the game of football, man. I think how you measure a guy about football, his love for the football, is practice, man. Them guys, I mean, you see Jerry McCoy just come, just go hard in practice, just love it, smiling. B. Price, man, right now he's working through injuries. I mean, coming steady, you know, getting us all he could got. And I think the Bucks, man, they did a great job with those two, and they're gonna be really, really two good ones.
Well, you know, a long time ago, before you were thinking about Buck football, you know, Sam Weiss was here, and we had a number of down years in a row. And I think the biggest thing that changed our football team, you know, yeah, we had a lot of young guys, but they were the right type of guys, you know. And in my mind, you know, Brian Price, the attitude you talk about with Mike Williams, you know, obviously Gerald McCoy, and the guys that come in with just the willingness to work, the willingness to watch film and be around and put in that time with the right attitude, rather than guys that have chips on their shoulders, really is the basis of what you're going to build a football team on. And I think it would be unrealistic, talking about the defensive line, to expect Gerald McCoy or Price to come in and have 10 or 12 sacks in their rookie year. But the areas where the Bucs lacked last year was running the ball between the tackles, collapsing the pocket from the front, you know, stopping the quarterback from stepping up, to buy that extra time for those deeper routes, because in third and long situations, that's where the Bucs have always played very well. But that quarterback would buy that extra time by stepping up into the pocket to wait for those deeper routes. They're the things yesterday we saw in the second half. Not sure exactly in the first half. They ran outside more than inside and were able to gain some yards, but I think for the most part, between the tackles, and I know you don't watch film on a defense. You come in and do the offense and the team meeting and special teams and things like that. But that's an area where, you know, I was impressed, and that was a question mark all preseason. Also, you know, they run a number of defensive linemen in there, so hopefully that'll help keep them fresh. And, you know, what kind of guy is McCoy around the locker room? Has he come in and been exactly what everybody perceives him as? You know, a lot of times as players, you know how the public perceives guys, and when you get in a locker room, it's not always the same guy. Is he the same guy everybody thinks he is?
You know what? To be honest, he's the same guy, man. The guy got a very humble spirit about himself, very friendly, outgoing guy, man. And well, to be honest with you, man, he just fit well into our locker room with the players we already had here. And to be honest with you, man, all those new guys from the draft pick to the free agents, man, them guys, man, we as a team, man, we had that chemistry, we got that bond, and I really do think that we just care for each other and want to see the other man next to us do good.
And that's the intangibles, I think. You know, when people make predictions of where teams finish, that they don't know. You know, what kind of guys are you dealing with? And the way you guys played yesterday, you were down, you fought hard, nobody quit. You know, it's easy when everybody expects you to lose to say, you know what, it's okay, we're off the hook, because they expect it anyway. Right. But you guys played to the end, and they're the things that you can't measure when you match up guys against guys. You know, heart goes a long way. Everybody loves the movie Rocky, right? No, he looked like he was going to get his butt kicked a lot of times. All right, we go back to the phones. We got Justin from Alaska. We don't want to leave him hanging too long.
Alaska.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
How are we doing? How's the weather up there?
Oh, weather's good. About 70 degrees right now. So wow. It doesn't start snowing for another couple months. So, you know, surviving. Cadillac, it's, you know, great and an honor to actually talk to you. I've been a Buck fan for about 13 years, and it's definitely an honor. So, you know, real pleased that I get to actually talk to you. So, But I wanted to find out, you know, with the young guys on the defense side of the ball, like E.J. Biggers and Mac and everybody else, how are they all gelling together?
You know what? Those guys are gelling well together, man. You know, that room there with Biggers, Tlaib, and, you know, Mac, and, you know, other draftee, you know, those guys, you know, that's Rondae Barber in the room, a guy who's done won a Super Bowl. You know, a guy who's a great player in this league, man. So I think once he speak, you know, they're our ears. They listen. So I think that room is fine, man.
Is he gone? Oh, I thought he was still there. Well, let's talk about E.J. Biggers. I mean, he came up. I mean, what a great play at the end. And something that surprised me was the Bucs defense. You know, we talked about how Cleveland didn't really do anything you expected them to. And that's one of the problems with playing an opponent, you know, the first game. They could put in a whole new defense and, you know, keep you guessing until the first game of the season. And you guys on defense did a ton of man-to-man, and that's something I didn't expect from watching, knowing Aqib was going to be out, not trying to put too much pressure on those corners. But you guys had your team meeting at least. You know, how did you guys assess his play as stepping in?
Wow, I mean
I guess I know the answer to that, but I want your opinion.
The guy made some big plays, man. The guy showed up on special team. I mean, the guy gets a pick the ball. The guy gets a deflection. Man, I think that secondary played well from the safeties coming down punishing guys. Man, I think overall our defense played well. I think we just played good. As a team, I really think yesterday was a great win for because it shows the adversity. I mean, like you say earlier, we was down 14-3. You didn't last year, to be honest with you, when we was down, you heard a lot of pounding on the sideline. Oh, here we go again. I mean, I ain't hear no pounding, no, you know, nobody. Oh, here we go again. We just stayed together. And say, you know, things gonna turn around. We're gonna keep going. And here it go. Rondae makes a big play and get us right back in the game. So I think yesterday was a totally team win, man. From special team to offense to defense.
And encouraging from the defensive perspective, that I think they did a solid job. And the things that weren't real good are correctable things. You know, the one where D-Jack went for the ball rather than playing aloft, and I have rather than playing the pass itself, he tried to pick it. And Raheem Morris gave an explanation for that, saying that he really expected that ball to come on a line and was going to step in front and, you know, take it and go the other way, where DeLone put that touch on top of it and decided to throw it over top. Another one, a missed tackle at the sideline. The only thing, obviously, the way this defense is built, it's bend, don't break, don't give up the big play. Well, both those plays are things that you can fix without, you know, playing a little bit better in coverage, and that's going to come just by playing. And offensively, you know, everything that you saw, correctable?
Yeah, oh, man, no doubt, especially from the run game to being better in the pass protection to our young guys out there running better routes, being more crisp, to Josh making quicker reads. All that's correctable, and we actually learned from all that, and we done took it, and we ready to move on to Carolina, come in Wednesday and get to work.
Now, one question about the fourth down play. You know, you had Josh Freeman go with the bootleg, and a lot of times that coordinator would tell him in the huddle, like, listen, don't throw the ball. Just run it. Use your legs. We saw how fast he was earlier in the game. Did he tell him not to throw it, or did he think he can outflank him and then all of a sudden get himself in a situation where I can't do it?
Well, it's like this. On third down, we was actually going to run that play. So he had a light in his mouth. Third down, actually told him, you know, don't throw it. So
keep it on third down. We can come back and either kick it or go for it on fourth.
So we wind up running. We called a timeout, so we wind up running the ball. So we called the play on fourth down, and he's still thinking that same thought. So he goes out there and run it, and you should just watch the film. Gilly is just wide open for a touchdown.
No, I saw it. And he actually stopped after the play. Like, did you see him look around?
Yeah, he looked around like, why did you throw the ball, so it was just a miscommunication. I mean, it was a touchdown.
Right, and that could have been because he told him on third down.
Right,
that's
exactly.
I've been in the huddle, and you know that quarterback was told in his ear set, you know, do not throw it, just run it, and we'll come back. And you know, but he was wide open, and I think they even had Williams deep, you know, as well, and Ernest. You know, you've been to short yards goal on running back before, and that's one of the areas you guys obviously, you know, that's all about attitude and, you know, getting in there and just deciding you're going to get the first down and goal line. And, you know, I love Ernest. I've always been a big fan of his. You know, are you going to have the opportunity to be that short yards goal line guy, or is that a completely different package?
I mean, right now I am the short yard guy, but more once we go to the goal line, you know, we use more EG for the goal line, but I'll also myself. But man, you know, Ernest had got sent on film where, you know, he done did a great job in that area, man, where, you know, he's a tough guy to, you know, bring down when, you know, down there in that goal line. And you know, if that's the direction they choose, I mean, the team, we have totally confidence in, you know, Ernest's ability.
Yeah, there's no question. I don't think anybody will second guess that, you know, whether or not you should give it to Ernest. I mean, that was kind of an odd thing. He caught his own guy when he was trying to break outside. I'm a big fan of having him at fullback and you at tailback, because now they have to respect both of you. To have a big guy at fullback in there, a defensive lineman, a linebacker's just going to come and submarine him and pile it up anyway, but – I know you probably can't comment on that. We'll go back to the phone with that. We got Doug in St. Pete. Is he there?
Yeah, hello. You there?
Yeah, how you doing?
Good, good. Hey, my question is more on the aspect of both of you. You know, I've been a Buccaneers fan ever since the 70s when you first started, but I've always been a Detroit fan, and to watch that game and to see that call at the very end of the game. I know we can't diss any refs. The refs are following the rules. But when it comes to something like that, and, you know, a rule that seems that a lot of players and a lot of coaches have been talking about on ESPN and a lot of ESPN guys, that they don't care for it, how do players and guys go about, you know, getting something like that, you know, re-looked at and maybe changed a little bit?
Well, that was a really, really strange call. But, you know, from my view and most of the view around America, he totally caught the ball, had, you know, full control of it. But, you know, if you strictly go by the ruling that the NFL have in place, you know, he did come down, you know, and, you know, try to help himself and lost the ball. So he didn't have control of all the way to the ground, which, you know, me honestly, I think that's something, you know, this offseason that we should look at.
Well, that, you know, that's one of the things replay-wise, it's, you know, it's tough duty, because we've looked at him up in a box. We've seen the replay. We've seen every angle possible, and we're right. Absolutely decided that this is the way it should go, and they go the other way?
Go the other way, yeah.
How is that possible? All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit about Carolina. I know you guys haven't game planned them yet. But we'll have more with Cadillac Williams on the Buccaneer Total Access Show. This is the Buccaneer Radio Network.
Buccaneers Total Access returns on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of the Buccaneers.
Welcome back to the Total Access Show. We are finishing up with Cadillac Williams. And remember, every week we're going to have a different guest and the opportunity for callers to call in and ask questions and give comments. And hopefully they'll all be as positive as this one. You know, it's certainly a long road ahead. And speaking of which, Carolina. Got to go to Carolina this week. Have you guys given that any thought yet or not?
I mean, no doubt. You know, you don't play here, and you know the Carolina rival. You know, when you play a Carolina Panther football team, it's going to be a physical game. You know, it's going to be, you know, all out, you know, running the ball down here. It's going to be physical. So that part we definitely know. But as a standpoint of breaking it down or what they do, we really haven't gotten to that. But, of course, we already have an idea of having much change from their scheme.
Well, it's still a John Fox football team, so you know it's going to be a physical game. And you and I were checking out the roster a little bit. A lot of new faces up there, and quarterback being really the biggest. You know, Moore was in there, and then he's hurt. So they're talking potential Jimmy Clausen, which would be interesting. So for the defense, obviously, it's going to be doing the best they can to stop the run and force that young guy to beat you. And on the other side, you know, you guys got to plan on running the ball.
No doubt, man. That's any game you go into, you actually want to stop the run and you want to run the ball.
Thank you. I say that every week.
I feel like we get those two things accomplished, we give ourselves a chance to win.
Yeah, and the funny thing is I made the point during the game was you got to stop the run really to stop DeLome. And, you know, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense because he's the quarterback. But if you stop the run and you put him in third and long situations, then Raheem can blitz. He can run games on defense because if they do complete a short pass, because it has to be quick because he's under pressure, your defense has time to make the tackle. And then same on the other side. Now, you had the opportunity, you know, to carry the ball a bunch this week. You know, are you going to be able to be that 25 to 35 guy or carry guy a game?
You know what? Well,
I'm rooting for you, Barry.
You know what? I definitely can hold my own. Whatever with me. You know, however this team could win, whether that's me carrying the 15, 10 time, 4-5 catches, 25, 30. I mean, you know, whatever it is to get the team a W, that's what I'm willing to do.
Well, the best you can, do me a favor, talk to those young guys and keep them as level as you can. You know what I mean? Don't let them get too high. Don't let them get too low. I'll be preaching to you on the plane.
Okay.
Anyway, thank you to all the callers. And like I said, we'll be here every week with a different guest. I'd like to say thank you, Cadillac Williams, for taking the time to spend with us tonight. And join us tomorrow night at 6 p.m. for the Gerald McCoy Show. He's got his own show.
Wow.
This is the Buccaneer Radio Network. Good night.